Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Joule Network. The Joule Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Joule Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Melanology Hour with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Joule Pulchram, MD, and biomedical researcher, physiological psychologist, and professor, Dr. Timothy Owens Moore.
Everyone, how are you? And welcome to the Joule Network. This is the Melanology Hour. I'm your host, Dr. Joule, and our co-host, Dr. T. Owens Moore. We're here tonight. Yes. Welcome to you to the Melanology Hour. Hi, Dr. Moore. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing quite well. Nice to hear your voice, and Brother Maurice there, and nice to be back with the family.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we are too. So, everyone, this is our Melanology Wednesday. That's right, the last Wednesday of the month. And so we're here to discuss that very vital, important, and necessary biopolymer for life, melanin. And so we have a very interesting subject to talk about today. We're going to talk about, again, pigments in their various states of existence. And I think it's very interesting, Dr. Moore, that they just refuse to use the term melanin. Just every other word is used to describe these fabulous colors and changes, which is the electromagnetic spectrum, but we still have a real bias on this, and we're going to talk about this tonight. So, again, the universal solvent, your water, your pad and pencil. We'll be right back after this message, and the next voice you will hear will be Dr. Moore. We'll be right back.
Would you like to be smarter? More at peace in your life? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Joule's balancing program. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Joule's balancing program, please visit our website, www.thejoulenetwork.net.
Dr. Moore.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Well, you know, we've been kind of talking behind the scenes here, again, about melanin and how more research has been done to, again, discuss and to describe how melanin is presenting itself in the form of colors and pigments of feathers and hide, fur, et cetera. But the terms are not used as pigments. They're called chromatics and a lot of other things. So there's been a whole definition where they are now referring to pigments in objects as opposed to pigments in biological systems. And so I thought it would be very interesting since you're the master of this to really tell us more about their difference in the pigment in a feather that makes it turquoise and blue as opposed to the melanin biopolymer, which in humans can range from, you know, pink to navy blue black.
Right. Well, I'd like to really just focus as we begin this discussion on Mother Nature. You know, the beauty of this mothers and how they take care of and, you know, harmonize the beauty of everything that exists on the planet. You know, without that Mother Nature, really don't have anything that exists. So Mother Nature created this color that exists in our, you know, evolutionary experience. So colors are, you know, they're not really by accident. You know, from the very beginning of development, dark matter that's in the universe, you know, this darkness, out of everything came darkness. You know, darkness absorbs. So what it's absorbing is radiation that's out there in the environment, ultraviolet radiation, creating what, different images or different vibrations, different scenes, different feelings. So when you think about it on the level of the skin, you know, it is pretty much the first, you know, sense to, the first kind of like organ to evolve to keep us in tune with the environment. So all senses evolve from the tactile function of the skin. Let's break that down. The skin is like the covering of your body, but it's actually a large organ. And it's actually the largest organ of the body. So to have the pigment in the skin keeps you in tune with the ultraviolet energy that exists in the environment. So it was such a beautiful day here in the wilderness where I'm living. The sun was shining all day. Past few days, I guess, rain, and just there in the Atlanta area where you may be, there's a lot of rain and cloud cover, and it changes your whole attitude. As soon as that sunshine and that energy is emitted, your body is attracted to that. So there's an article that we were going to discuss called Color from Structure, dealing with the reality that now scientists are finding ways to synthetically alter the way that we respond to light. Now, if you're talking about a scientist synthetically trying to create something like photonics to manipulate light so you get a different image, imagine your body and the level of knowingness in your body and what's going on when light hits your body and your mind changes. Your consciousness changes. So a lack of it also can what cause a change in your consciousness and in your thinking. On the synthetic level, I don't have it, but this thing called Blu-ray technology. Are you familiar with
it? Yes, I don't have it either.
So evidently it's a new way to look at images and see different colors, and it's dealing with communication. Yes. So they've used Blu-ray as a way to now look at images and manipulate that. I think
they're using ultraviolet blue frequency. And, you know, there's seven sub-frequencies in ultraviolet blue also, seven different modest variations of that major wavelength.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just find it fascinating because if you can think of it and manipulate it on a level of, you know, transistors and, mechanical apparatus, well, think about your body. And what goes on with the changes that go on with light, and we sometimes don't pay attention to our feelings as a result of light changing. You know, you have when you listen to the radio on Saturdays, you got the blue lights in the basement house parties. I wonder why.
Yeah.
You know, red light is usually associated with sexual energy. I wonder why. So those different levels of energy that are emitted outside, now people are studying it on the synthetic level and creating things to pretty much manipulate the flow of light through color. I think that's powerful.
Well,
so from the very beginning of Mother Nature, like I said, Mother Nature knew what it was doing. So now scientists are trying to follow Mother Nature.
Right. Well, I think that it's what's so significant here also, that finally they're speaking and referencing to, is the fact here that they're noticing that pigments and dyes based on their chemical content will reflect specific wavelengths of the electromagnetic spectrum, which gives it the color that we see with the eye, but also too they're noticing that the geometry of the matter based on the geometric architecture will also selectively only reflect certain wavelengths of light. So they're learning that certain geometric formation, then you know that's very significant to us. And, we are using geometry to stimulate neuronal growth and integration in humans that now they're noticing that geometry does play a significant role in also determining color, regardless of what the molecular chemistry may be.
Yeah,
so,
and he's talked about the sacred geometry for a long time, and, you know, Swalwell Lubeck, Rene Lubeck, they looked at this, the Egyptian symbolism and how geometry certainly was important, and we know that certainly through the pyramids. But when you take it to now, I'm looking at the level of the cells, you know, the cells of a biological agent, those cell walls have cellulose microfibrils that are like stacked in a helix structure. The last time we met and talked over the airways on Melanology Hour, we were talking about graphene and nanostructured molecule that has a certain hexagonal shape. Guess what? Same shapes are in biological elements.
Exactly. Well, I think it's very interesting. I don't know what we're going to do as far as helping our community of scientists finally come together and be able to put this together to make one picture, but I'm very clear that the picture that I'm seeing that brings all this together is quite interesting. You know, you've also done a lot of work on the microtubules and microfiber.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for a fact that it's the microtubules and the microfibrils that are responsible for causing the cell to take on their specific shape.
Absolutely
so
correct.
What I'm seeing and what I think is so interesting is we don't have three-dimensional and fourth-dimensional microscopy yet. But finally, when we put our little neurons together and create that, we'll be able to see that we've lost a lot of the comprehension of how cells really live on a moment-to-moment basis because we always took them and dyed them and then made them one-dimensional, you know, and hoped that we could cut them thin enough that the light would penetrate so we could look through them. We've never thought about the fact that these microtubules are very much responsible for taking the cell through an entire morphic fractal lifestyle where every moment the cell is changing its shape. So it actually is literally dancing. So as the microfibrils contract and expand, the cell is actually changing its geometric shape and structure relative to the function that it has to perform. Now, some writers are also saying that this contraction and expansion or lengthening of the microfibrils, the microtubules, allow the organelles in the cell to access the DNA so that certain genes and alleles can be accessed, activated, or shut down relative to the new directives that are coming through from the bloodstream as well as the neuropeptides that are being absorbed. From so therefore, they are interacting to change the shape to assist the organelles in being able to adapt and to function relative to the information that is elicited from the nucleus of the cell, the DNA. And I thought that was really interesting, that there's a whole dance going on. So, you know, I'm really kind of wondering, do we really know in finality what colors really are and what are the dominant colors? Because those colors may not even be able to be really seen because if the reflections, of the electromagnetic spectrum as the geometry of the cell is changing, that we can begin, if we could finally move into a third, fourth dimensional biological system and observe it, be able to really identify colors and shapes that may be pathological or may be the ones that are wholesome and healthy. But we're still quite fragmented here, and again, not giving the melanin biopolymer its full recognition that it is the electromagnetic spectrum moving through a biological system.
Yeah. It's basically, our whole cellular makeup is photoactivated. You know,
right.
But to break it down for our audience who may not be as scientifically astute as we have been with the whole enterprise of this Western medicine system, but we know we have a simple cell that makes our brain cell. It's called a neuron. The neuron has a cytoskeleton. When we say cyto, speaking about cells, skeleton, everybody knows what a skeleton is. As you sit there in your chair or lie in your bed, you sit around your bone, it will give you what structure. So you now have a cytoskeleton within the cells. And the way that the neuron as the brain cell is developed is one part of it called a dendrite, which receives information, one part called an axon that sends and transmits information. Well, those arms of the dendrite that are receiving, those arms of the axon that are sending, they must have some way to be able to be guided to another cell. And as you said about this issue of the microtubule system, it's inside those, particularly the axons, to help guide that neuron to connect to another neuron. What making a neural circuitry in your brain? So melanin can serve as that photoactive molecule to ensure that there's what activation going on in that cell. Anything that's light without color is not going to transmit energy. Or reflect it. So that's why then the darkness within the cells becomes key and critical as it works on photoactivation to make sure those cells are what? Connecting to other cells and making memories, making lasting behaviors that exist within us.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I'm sitting here, you're talking, and I'm thinking about what kind of technology could be devised where we could actually see and observe how these cells are continuously changing shape. They just don't keep one particular shape and actually go through their biological metamorphosis process.
Yeah. There's a book called Synaptic Self by Joseph LeDoux, and he talks about that whole reality of, everything that we learn, our brain going through changes as we're learning it. People who are listening to this melanology program right now, and the moment that you hear something new that you never heard, like maybe say the word ubiquitous, what's that? So if we say it's something that's a wide range of effects that something can have, it's wide, it's spread out, it's broad. So now the person just memorize that. Well, your brain has changed to what make that stick in your brain. So we are constantly going through changes. That's what the synaptic self is all about. The synapse is actually the space between the cells as they're kind of connecting and communicating with one another, for the audience that never knew what a synapse is. So as our synapses alter and change, guess what? Our minds change. Springtime is coming. You may see landscapers that are now out there cutting the branches and cutting the stems of certain trees. And well, why are they doing it? They're pruning the tree. They're pruning so then they grow up and blossom much better than they did past season. Same thing happens in our brain. Our brains are pruned. We can't remember everything, but our neurons are pruned to what make a lasting memory, make it so that we have some powerful images. And again, thinking about melanin in the brain, those places where melanin is in the brain, you have neurochemicals that are being released. The locus coeruleus, you got norepinephrine, and the raphe nucleus, serotonin, and the substantia nigra, dopamine. So these areas that are highly melanated have a heavy dose of chemicals that are being transmitted for our brain to function properly.
Right. Well, on that, let us take a break to our station ID and from our sponsors, and then I want us to come back, Dr. Moore, and I think that I finally figured out what creates iridescence. How about that? We'll be right back after this minute.
From Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. An incredible volume of work, Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
Well, greetings. If you've just tuned in, welcome to the Melanology Hour. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and our co-host, Dr. T. Owens Moore, is here with us. And again, we've been talking about pigment and color relative to the melanin biopolymer. So, as I said, Dr. Moore, it's interesting, and we now are recognizing that geometry or the shape of the cell also contributes to its color. And so it appears here, what's being written is that the pigment in the cell reflects particular colors, but when the cell takes on a geometric configuration or the surface of the cell has geometry in the membrane, that also causes a refraction further of the electromagnetic spectrum, and so we get an underlying pigment, and then we get the multiple array of other wavelengths of light that give us this sensation to the eye of iridescence. So geometry plus pigment can create just an array of different colors, including iridescence. Now, I think I'm interested to recognize that this is very much so, and we've been able to capture this microscopically in plants, because one of the things that was noticed about the lotus, everyone, is that the lotus is such a clean plant. And so it was recognized by the microscopy technicians that they didn't have to do a lot of preparation to prepare the lotus leaves as well as the lotus petals to make slides, microscopic slides. And they decided they would look closer at why they didn't have to do a lot of preparation. And what they discovered is that the leaf surface, the cells actually are pyramidal shaped, that the cells that form the lotus petals as well as the lotus leaves are shaped like little pyramids. Mm-hmm. And so therefore they have less surface area for debris to adhere to the surface, and so any moisture or any type of movement in the air knocks off any debris that may temporarily adhere to the surface. So this is why the plants are almost, the lotus is auto-cleansing because of that. So I thought that was really significant in that, you know, the lotus actually starts in mud, you know, very sticky matter, and has the capacity to move through that mud, through the water, and then up to the surface of the pond and maintain its cleanliness because of this pyramidal shape that forms the surface of the petals and the flowers. And they even took this to a new level where they begin to mimic this lotus leaf surface on automobiles or any type of large object that did not want to require high maintenance, as well as did not want to reflect high refraction of the light. So therefore, many of these dealt vehicles, as well as I'm sure many military technology, they use a pyramid-type substance in the paint so that when the paint is sprayed on, it takes on this muted hue, and they don't need cleaning, but they don't reflect light very well, and so therefore at nighttime you can't see them. Even if the headlights pass over the object, it won't reflect the light back because of this scattering of the light rays when a beam of light hits it, because of all of the pyramidal granules that break down the lights and cause a scatter. So it cleans itself, subtle cleansing, and it doesn't reflect back the light, so it's very difficult to see. But I thought that was very interesting that that technology originated from observing the microscopic geometric shape of the cells of the lotus blossom and the lotus leaf.
Mm-hmm. So have you've been to Africa and Kemet, so you've seen lotuses actually do their thing?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because they have a really beautiful exhibit of the original stellate lotuses, and those are rare. These are the ones that actually look like a star, multiple peak star, and they have a beautiful lavender to purple hue on the spike. Okay, and they have a large pond of them in front of the Museum of Antiquities in Cairo. Yes,
yeah.
very different. But you know, they don't. They have to grow in water that's semi-stagnant, so they don't grow in fresh water.
In the Black Swamp. That's why it's so deep.
Exactly, and you know, swamp is swamp, so it has a lot of debris in it. But the lotus is perfect, clean, and bright because of this pyramidal shaped cells that don't allow debris to adhere to the surface.
Well, I just find it dynamic how it's so responsive to the environment. You know, at nighttime it goes down into the water, and then at night, I mean, daytime with the sunshine, it comes back up and blossoms. And just for to see a live, you know, flower plant respond to the universe like that, imagine what we're doing or not paying attention to what we should be doing. You know, that's what I'm saying. The skin becomes a very important element that is the base of all our receptions. I played tennis today and had a good time. And you ever been on somewhere where you had a ball, and if you threw the ball up and you close your eyes and wonder where the ball's going to hit, it could hit you on the head, right?
Okay.
It could hit you, but it may not, right? But it's almost like you can feel the ball coming down.
Okay.
You know how sometimes in nighttime you can be walking, you can close your eyes and walk around your house, home, wherever you may be, and you know certain things in certain places, even with your eyes closed, because your skin is like a tactile sense, but it's now connected more plainly, making you feel connected to the universe. So if you look at other senses, let's say hearing, the hearing mechanism, you know, responds to vibrations. Vibrations make this mechanism in your ear kind of vibrate and then cause something deep in your ear called the inner ear to move, and there's something called hair cells deep in your ear, and those hair cells must vibrate. Hair cells are like hair on your skin, you know, like responsive to almost like touch. So, you know, vibrations on the outside of your body can be felt. Well, vibrations are needed for that ear mechanism to work. The tongue, you know, tongue for taste, another sensation. Well, the connection between the tongue and the skin is the fact that, you know, in cells, you know, they slough off, they die. That's what ash is. You get that white skin and that, you know, dry skin, that's ash. Well, the same thing happened to your tongue. Those receptors on the tongue, those taste buds, can be regenerated. And so that's why the skin looks like the tongue. And then for the eye is pretty deep because we know about the eye responsive to wavelengths of energy that exist, but you think about organisms that develop without having our level of communication, they use color for communication. You know, you see chameleons changing colors, dealing with trying to, what, survive in the environment. Chameleon may be crawling on a tree. But think about a squid in the ocean. It may change its colors just like that, again, to get away from a predator. So color became very important for what? Communication. So now we, being the original asphalt black folks that existed on the planet, the original human then has a color and a hue that makes us more connected to the universe. Back to what I said when we began, Mother Nature. Do not neglect that.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to comment about the awareness of where the ball is going to fall with your eyes closed. You and I agree that the skin is literally like an external brain, and that the brain and the cranium and the skin over the body originate from the same embryonic tissue. And so, you know, there are people who have developed the nervous system to such an extent, the inner eye, where they literally can read and see through their skin. They don't have to use literally the first cranial nerve, which is the optic nerve. They don't have to see through the eyeballs. Just their skin being exposed to the environment, they literally can see the entire environment through the skin. So there was one gentleman, a yogi, who literally entertained people by this, that he would go to the hospital and have his head surgically bandaged, his eyes, especially, so there's no way he could see through the eye, but yet still he could sit in front of you, and if you open the book as though you were reading it, he literally could put his hand up in front of him and read the book to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So,
yeah. Just for correction, the optic nerve is the second cranial nerve. The first one's the olfactory nerve.
Oh, okay, thank you, yes, okay, second cranial nerve, okay, optic nerve, yeah. And therefore, you know, the general population has not developed these skills yet, even though they're available for all of us. So this whole concept that, you know, we have the tendency to be able to see without the actual eye or without the actual ear, is because the nervous system, as it is tunneling through all of these canals over the body, has the same properties all over. So you have eyes in the skin, you have, you know, ears in the skin, just like you have, you know, ear on the head, ears on the head, and eyes on the head, which I think is very interesting, and more is going to come out on that. So we have a few minutes. And would you like to take some calls? You know, everybody always wants to ask you questions.
Sure.
What do you think?
Yes,
okay. If you want to speak to Dr. Moore or myself, if you have questions or comments, please call us at 347-215-9531, 347-215-9531. And if you're having any special experiences with melanin or you have questions or concerns, please feel free to dial in. So it's time for us to hear from our sponsors. And before we go, though, I just want to remind everybody again, tomorrow is the day for the Music for the Mind of a Scientist on Thursday, the new Friday to Thursday. And also don't forget that the Brain Biology Program is having their spring fling, where disciplines are going to be taught as to how you can heighten the use of the neurons that you balance, and you want to be able to get these disciplines under your belt, and by practicing them, you actually transform the nervous system and promote it to work at even a greater efficiency and a new level of capability. So you can join us in Jamaica for a springtime at the vernal equinox. This is when we're going to launch this, so that by September, your harvest time, you will have a fabulous life that you've created. So you're going to plant your seeds, learn your discipline, and then focus on whatever you want and watch and see what happens at harvest time. November, October, November, great things. So, again, you'll hear from our sponsor, and then you can call us. 347-215-9531, 347-215-9531, and we're here to answer any questions you may have on pigments, melanology, et cetera. We'll be right back after the sponsor, and then on to the telephone.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Well, hi. You're listening to the Dr. You're listening to the Melanology Hour with Dr. Jewel and Dr. T.O. Moore, and we're going to our telephones now. So we have a caller, Dr. Moore, area code 770. Welcome to the Melanology Hour.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Yes, I'm doing okay. Dr. Jewel, how are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. How are you doing?
All right. My question for you has concerning with the melanin. With melanin, how does it actually affect the microtubule system? As far as it, the microtubule system being, I think I've heard you in past lectures say that the microtubule system helps to regulate energy. Especially excessive thermal energy, I believe you were saying, something to that degree. And also, I have a question concerning melanin and immortality. And is melanin a polymer that is responsible or has a key component in biological immortality, or having a biological body to maintain its existence? Is it a key factor?
So, Dr.
Boyd,
you
want to
go to that?
Well, if I go for the first question, you do the second question.
All right.
You brought us some deep questions. So the reality is, when we say photoactivation or the photoenergy aspect of the cell, melanin becomes the cellular generator to cause the cell to be activated. So inside the cell, you then have these microtubules that are like, if you ever seen a piece of celery and the long stalk of the celery, and you have those strips in the celery. Those strips in the celery, like the strips we're saying, are deep in the cellular architecture. So those strips guide the cells to other cells so that they can communicate and create like a little circuitry. Well, melanin becomes an active component of the cell to ensure that there's activity occurring. So it becomes a photo generator. And everywhere you see melanin in the body, in the brain, in the organs, and now we're talking about on the cellular level, it becomes in the photoactive molecule that assists in microtubule formation. You got the second question.
All right. Okay, well, thank you so much, caller, for your questions. And now in regards to immortality, there's a couple of theories out that I've read, and I'm going to share with you my theory, is that the microtubule system, as Dr. Moore says, literally ensures that the life force energy, that the light is actually able to circulate through the cells and also into all the organelles of the cell necessary to keep up its metabolism. Now, photomicrographs show that the microtubules, unlike the microfilaments, look like a coaxial cable, so that when you actually make a sagittal section into a microtubule, you'll find that there's even smaller little filaments. And it is postulated that each one of these filaments is fine-tuned. These are proteinaceous, or protein filaments that are fine-tuned to carry a particular wavelength. So what I am theorizing is that what has happened is that because the microtubule system is basically inactive, it is on an automatic programming that with the cells, they use the microtubule system to the extent that their programming allows. But without human consciousness, the microtubule system cannot be fully activated. Upon full activation, each one of the fibrils now can fully transport its designated frequency, which means that if we are aware that there's generally 7 or 8 wavelengths in the electromagnetic spectrum, as we are able to see it with our present level of neurologic development from planet Earth, then we have a fibril in the microtubules that will conduct that frequency. And by all of the fibrils and the microtubule itself being surrounded by melanin, the melanin acts literally as a capacitor, where it literally will then modulate and temper the amount of that wavelength moving through the microtubule, so that too much ultraviolet or too much X-ray or too much gamma ray will not damage the cell, because the melanin will then absorb it and then release it as heat. So one of the things that I'm saying is that since everything is made out of light, every cell in our body, we are a light being, we have not been able to capture and utilize the light components of our existence very efficiently because of a chronically underdeveloped nervous system. And so as we are now able to bring a, how can I say, a semi-sync brain into existence, where the right and left hemisphere of the brain is now synchronized, and then cause further integration of the dendrite of the neuron, where we have also circuit integration, we can now utilize more of the subtle anatomy of the body in a much more constructive way. Once we're able to do that, we will find that we'll be able to utilize and be exposed to more X-ray, more gamma ray, more cosmic rays, and not find them harmful to our tissue. With that capability also comes the capacity to restore and regenerate the cells much more efficiently, where we will find that our lifespan will become extended tremendously. So we have cells now that have been removed from human bodies that are still very much alive. The whole community of the body has died, but these cells that literally were extricated from that body are still very much alive and well 70, 80 years later. So therefore, the efficiency of these cells, which we still don't understand how the was activated, but we do know now something known as epigenetics, that states of consciousness do turn on and off particular genes, and we do know that stress, when an individual doesn't feel comfortable in their environment, definitely shuts down a significant portion of genetic activity, that these cells were in a stressful environment, and because they were extricated from that, being in a very simple, fully nutritional environment, they've been able to live indefinitely. And so this is what we are, as a species on planet Earth, learning how to do. How can we exist in this environment peacefully and without the perception of fear and anxiety? Because once we can accomplish that, then we will naturally extend our lifespan. So this is where the whole concept of immortality is coming from. Some authors are even speculating that with the brain that is fully developed and obviously a different state of consciousness, that individual will be able to sustain into full viability in one body for 100,000 years. So it's about training the brain, balancing the brain, and understanding more about the software programs that our nervous system innately carries and how to be able to use them.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling. Dear engineer, do we have any more callers? You can call us at 347-215-9531. So, Dr. Moore, what do you have to say now?
Crystals. We haven't talked about crystals in the context of these colored structures, because if you look at sardines or, you know, really shiny fish that circulate in the water, and they do it in pools, in schools, and wow, how do they know how to stay together? How do they synchronize like that? And you see, birds also do the same thing, work in formation, and how do they do that? How do they fly? And you see certain down in the, I guess, neighborhood where you have a lot of pigeons or a lot of birds, and they seem to be hanging around power lines. So it's like a certain energy out there, and crystals become key and critical to guiding some energy out there. So on the level of crystals, I think that's also an important component of channeling energy. I'm not a crystallographer or a master at using crystals, but I know that they're key and critical. And we talked earlier about geometric formations, and crystals have, you know, a certain shape, and they are that way so that they can conduct energy. The pineal gland itself becomes crystallized as we get older. It doesn't mean it's becoming non-functioning. It just is becoming crystallized, and it may be something to do with the spiritual connection that the third eye or pineal gland may have as we get older. So the crystals, I think, is also another component with the microtubule system and melanin that really heightens our senses to be connected to Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, now that's very interesting also, because we still are struggling with trying to really understand what a crystal is. Now, in my mind, as Dr. Moore, you know, helping with this, I see crystals as a solidified form of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Okay.
So,
I don't have any problems with reviewing it like that.
Okay, yeah, so that, to me, I look at it like stored light, okay? So it's like, you know, rock salt, okay? When salt is in its most solid form, it's like a rock, it's crystalline, okay? As opposed to when it's finally diluted, then you have it in the form of a liquid solution such as seawater.
Mm-hmm. In some of the fairy tales, where you use a magic wand, magic wand is really a crystal.
Oh, interesting. How about that?
So just something that can be used to alter energy. And that's just the point about how we speak on the Melon Hour about us being powerful generators. I mean, we have so much energy bundled up. And like you said, when it's not being used right, it's problematic. You know, we channel the energy in the wrong way, the wrong direction, especially when that stress and the wrong thinking, really problematic. And so on the level of education, we have so much dysfunction going on because people talk properly about self and who they are. I had a chance to speak to Sister Pat Newton last night on the phone, and she said,
nice.
Yeah, she sends her love to you and to the Dr. Jewel, she says hello. But she, you know, talks about post-traumatic slave syndrome and the whole issue of our past experience not really being discussed properly. And, you know, so people then run from themselves, and then they avoid, you know, they want reality, not good. So our whole educational system on any level, okay, if you're Asian, African, European, whatever your ethnicity is, we've been duped by not being taught about the origins in a proper way. Therefore, everything you know beyond the origins becomes confusing to understand.
Wow. And
so we put in perspective that the reason why I was raising this and mentioned Dr. Newton's name, is the issue of stress, as you just talked about, and people's mindsets. It's like, what can we do to stop this virus of negative thinking? You know what I mean? We have to, as you do with the brain balancing program, you're going to try to get people to focus on a higher light, a higher element, to move their brains into another form of consciousness where you're not constantly dwelling on negative things. But the negative energy creates stress. Stress what? Debilitates the cells don't work, you have then what? Poor health. And that's what you talk about in your books.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's so nice that Dr. Newton sends her love. For those of you who may not know Dr. Newton's work, she's a clinical psychiatrist, and she has spent a lot of time in working with post-traumatic stress syndrome with slavery and many of the political, social events that have left many people psychologically traumatized. And she's been doing this for a very long period of time. And part of her work has always been addressing the effects that pathologic behaviors or should I say pathologic environment project onto the melanin molecule, the melanin biopolymer, which was a real unique observation that we would take into effect that a pathological environment would have a direct effect on melanin. And this was one of the things that she worked with. I don't know what a lot of her conclusions are because, you know, a lot of that is the retrospective study. But what do you know? Do you know anything about that? The effects of melanin in a pathological environment?
Well, if you just look at people who are alcoholics, you know, they have come darken their skin color, you know, and their appearance. So when you stress out the cell, yeah, the melanin becomes overtaxed. And guess what? It doesn't work right. You know, so on the outside of the body, you see that. So people who get Parkinson's disease, you don't usually develop that as a teenager or any younger than a teenager. You develop when you get older, when those cells are what's stressed and taxed out. So the whole issue of melanin becoming a double-edged sword has kept us and keeps us looking young and fit. But as it works so hard and if it gets stressed out, it absorbs so much that we then have an impact in our health. So drugs, people taking elements in the body, I don't know, even thinking about NutraSweet and just artificial sweeteners. Those things put into your body over time may not necessarily be the best because your body's absorbing that. If it's going to have on a label, on a bottle that says a diet drink and it says if you're pregnant, don't be drinking that stuff, my goodness, what are we anybody drinking it for?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and there's a lot of other items that, you know, we have just in general consumption. And it's good for you, but then why is there a label on it that says if you're pregnant, and don't take?
Well, yeah, well, I'm very concerned about the GMO. Nobody said anything about the effects of the GMO and melanin yet.
Yeah, and that's pretty deep, too, because we know about blood pressure medicines. You know, for so long, they said, oh, we're all the same, and there's no difference in our pharmacological makeup in terms of how drugs impact us. So
oh, that's
we're
not true.
Say it again?
I said, oh, no, that's not true. There's a profound effect, intense.
Yeah, but for years, all we've been told is that it's the same kind of, what do you call it? Effect on everybody, but we know there's different blood pressure medicines that are needed for different ethnic groups. If that is the case for just blood pressure medicines, imagine all the other medications.
Exactly.
You know, you got this Viagra and this, all these other so-called sexual enhancement drugs that are out there. We don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now. People's eyes might start popping out. You never know what's going on. So black people may respond, or people who are heavily melanated might respond to certain mass marketing of certain drugs much differently. And so the GMOs become the same story. We have no clue. I mean, you deal with issues on some of your other programs about health, and you also have it in your new book, but the issue of prostate cancer and a woman getting the uterus taken out and all these other things that are happening is because of the diets that are triggering these negative mechanisms causing our bodies to fail. You know, if we're eating artificial foods, guess what? You're going to have artificial things happen in your body.
Yeah, we have a really big problem going on here. Well, you know, we just have a few minutes left, Dr. Moore. So tell us, is there anything you want us to keep in mind until next month? And also, do you have any new books that are out or coming out so we can be prepared to definitely purchase those?
Actually, I like to say on the front end is basically take control of your life. You know, once you take control of that, everything else falls into place. So in terms of me being back next month, that's what I say, take control of your life. In terms of publications, yes, I actually do have a new book out called The Spiderfly Proverbs. So it's kind of a, you know, different story tale away from the science and the melanin, but it's going into a practical guide for loving relationships. So it's called Spiderfly Proverbs.
So it's called the Spider, say it again?
The Spider Fly Proverbs. I have it for distributions, so I'm excited about that. But it's a small copy, a short read, but it's about the woman being a spider and the man being a fly. So we know the fly has what? Wings, and a spider has something that can spin a web. It has multiple legs, and so they two insects, but they got to coexist. So one of the proverbs that I speak about 62 of them, I think Proverb 15 is that if a fly wisely lands on the back of a spider, it can transform into the beauty of a butterfly and create something new and different that you've never seen before.
Exactly. Interesting. So how can we get it, Dr. Moore?
Just so you contact me on Zamani Press. People have my email address, Zamani Press, tmoore@zamanipress.com. Let me know, and I'll give you information.
Okay. All right. Okie dokie. Well, that's another melanin hour for us. And Dr. Moore, as usual, thank you so much. And we look forward to sitting with you next month. And perhaps we can even talk more about the spider and the fly proverbs.
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate you.
Yeah, and everyone, again, microtubules. Remember, we have geometry that developed the microtubules. So we had probably about somewhere about 60 people who have been looking at the microtubule geometry. And so we're in the last process of assessing how the microtubules have progressed and being exposed to this type of fractal geometry. So we're really excited about that, what the results are going to measure out. But again, geometry is the key to everything, even to the melanin biopolymer, which makes it so unique. So love your melanin, study, 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 become the mind of a scientist. Remember tomorrow, music for the mind of a scientist, and we'll be back the last Wednesday of March to share more with you. And everybody, please contact Dr. Moore to get the spider and fly proverb. Wonderful. We're excited about that. And I'll be back on Monday, the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program, and we're going to talk more about reengineering the brain and increasing your connect tone. And if you know what I've been talking about, the connect tone is the number of neurologic connections in a nervous system. And that's what you want to do. You want to maximize the number of connections between neurons so that you have a vast connectome to match your genome, your DNA connection. So we'll be back next, the last Wednesday of March for the Melanology Hour. Thanks again, Dr. Kim.
Okay,
bye.
www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.